Attention, inmates of Ravencliff Asylum. We have a very special visitor with us today, so I want everyone on their best behavior.
Or it's the boom box for you.
Sarah Bartlett has been the astrologer of the London Evening Standard and the BBC Radio. Today we'll speak with her about a new book she's created for National Geographic, A Guide to the World's Supernatural Places. How perfect is that for a special Halloween edition of the Book Report? Welcome, Sarah, and thanks for joining us on the Book Report.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure indeed.
Your book, A Guide to the World's Supernatural Places, is presented in sections of haunted places, vampire haunts, witchcraft and the dark arts, sacred places, UFOs, myths and legends. Surely there were thousands of contenders for the 250 stories you chose. How did you decide which to include?
Yeah, it was very, very difficult because obviously worldwide is a big subject. So between myself and the editors, we came up with a lot of lists, in fact, and we just had to weed places out, mostly places that were inaccessible or very difficult to get to for various reasons, whether political or just the accessibility physically. So it came down to places that were easy for people to go and visit if they actually wanted to, but also that had a good story around them, so that there was something more than just this is a place to go because it's, you know, because it's known as a sacred place or because it's known as a place where there's a myth or a legend, but to pull out actual stories about places. Because nobody really, for example, the vampire section or the witchcraft section, there's very little information about where you would go in the world to, if you wanted to meet a vampire. I don't think you'd want to, but where you might experience the energy around that sort of supernatural event that might have happened there, or the legends associated with these particular vampire creatures in, for example, in the Far East, where there are many legends about, you know, sort of strange vampire women sort of floating through the air and, you know, snatching babies and all kinds of things. And so it's these ancient legends which still remain embedded in the culture. And you can actually, either in the book or by literally going to these places, experience that sense of the supernatural too.
We all know about Stonehenge, but fill us in about the Carnac stones in Brittany, France.
Now, the Carnac stones, these again are standing stones, and there's been many different archaeological kind of investigations as to what they actually are. Personally, I have been there because I've been to quite a few of these places in Europe that are in the book, and I can say that there is this sort of feeling of something very ancient at work. I can't quite work out what it is, but they are believed to either have been left by some ancient culture that worshipped or perhaps was particularly interested in some kind of sacred pagan religion. And it's often the case with these standing stones throughout Europe is that no one's really sure why they're there, rather like Stonehenge. Mm. But they do seem to be either kind of a place to have rituals performed, or they are maps, perhaps, of something to do with the sky and the times of the year, to do with the eclipses, to do with the solstices, and the worship of the sun. So whether you're in, whether you're in Stonehenge or Karnak, or there's also some standing stones in up in Scandinavia that are very well known. But wherever you are with standing stones, you know that this was a culture that had an ancient belief and worshipped the sun and the moon as well. And there was some attempt to try and create a map or a ritual walkway on the earth itself. And I've more recently, since I wrote the book, discovered that there's something that they used to do called earth acupuncture, which is basically placing stones into the earth to channel power. So that in geomancy, this is also something that is done with crystals. And I think this comes from this very ancient belief or this ritual of planting stones into the earth to direct and force and channel earth energy. So it's sort of sacred energy that's being used by the culture and directed in a certain way, so that when you go to these places, you can feel the force of this very natural energy too.
That's fascinating. Do you have a favorite haunting tale from the book?
I guess for me, I'm a bit of a romantic, so I rather like the Château de Chambord, which is in France, in the Loire Valley. And it's an interesting place to go to, because I think most chateaus in France are, there is a feeling of sort of something haunting about them. But this is one where this strange gentleman called the Comte de Saint-Germain, who was thought to be maybe a vampire as well, but he came into the world of Louis the 15th, in the middle of the 18th century, with no past. It was like he just suddenly appeared, which is what, you know, the ultimate vampire, if you like, of legend and novels is all about, you know, someone who lives forever. And he managed to have a great deal of influence over Madame de Pompadour and various other courtiers. And he never ate in public. He rarely left his room. And at night, he showed off his musical talents. He was a great violinist, apparently, to his friends. But he suddenly disappeared as well. And not long after, Madame de Pompadour and her daughter both died of mysterious causes quite young. The sort of well-known wasting disease. And it was believed that he might have possibly been given her not only the clues to what the elixir of life was, being blood, but through that she paradoxically came to a sticky end as well.
All right. Well, speaking about vampires, what's this about pumpkins turning into vampires if left outside on the night of a full moon?
Yeah, well, the Pirani, yeah, I mean, they're amazing. I mean, I think this is a great story because it's just, I think this is something that in very much, again, embedded in the local culture. You know, pumpkins, when they're ripe and they're kind of beginning to rot, they give out a kind of red exuding sort of colour, and I think they start to leak juice. So it's understandable that in the middle of the night in a full moon, if you're standing in a field of pumpkins, you might start imagining that these things come to life. So around this Roma folklore, pumpkins, they don't suck blood, but they actually sort of fill themselves up with everything that is left from humans passing by, like the skin, their nails, their even their hair, you know, and they soak this all up, and they even soak up blood as well, you know, that's lying around. And so there's so many variations on these tales that, you know, this part of Serbia, in the northern Serbia, they still have this sort of belief that pumpkins, you know, come to life at night under the full moon, and these superstitions have remained ever since. And it's just one of those, yet another strange but true legend, if you like.
And that's why your book, A Guide to the World's Supernatural Places, is so much fun. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Elaine. It was a pleasure.
All righty. Okay. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.